Message number 20 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of our beloved Savior, and even in the name of our beloved and blessed Father above. We would now direct our hearts in meditation upon the closing section of 1 John chapter 3. We would particularly consider the closing section that begins at verse 19 to the end of the chapter. This follows what we have noted in our preceding message, John's emphasis upon true love toward one another, a love that we should manifest not by mere words, but in actual deeds. From the Apostle's strong insistence of this practical love, we may raise a question within our own hearts. Am I as loving as I ought to be? There may be some misgivings in our minds over this fact, and oftentimes, perhaps rightly so. But John, in the 19th verse, goes on to write words of assurance for us if true love is manifested. He says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." The gist of it is this: when we are walking in love, we are of the truth, and the assurance of our relationship with the Father is certainly ours, and before him we have confidence. Yet in verse 20, we can learn we perhaps are conscious of our failure to walk, as the Apostle writes. For here he declares, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Beloved, it may be possible that we feel condemned in our hearts for the inconsistencies that are ours. But these words would give us encouragement. For whatever may be our failures, the worst that can be ours, John says, God knows all about it. And John suggests he cares for us and desires that we walk within his ways. If we discover ourselves to have failed, all the time it was an open secret to the Father, for he knoweth all things. So when our hearts condemn us, we can be assured, nevertheless, we are in the hands of a God who is greater than our hearts, who surpasses man in love and compassion, and he will help his own. Now John goes on to say, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do these things that are pleasing in his sight. This he declares in verses 21 and verse 22. The attitude of heart in a Christian in the sight of God is extremely important. For when, as far as we may know, there is no unconfessed sin in one's life, there is nothing between himself and herself and the Savior, there is habitually a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, and when living in close fellowship with the Lord, there is confidence in prayer. Day after day, we can ask of God, and supported by our faithful habitual habits, keeping his word, pleasing him, what tremendous value this gives within the life of prayer. We can ask him, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Let us recognize that when John writes these words, whosoever or whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, we will never be asking or seeking anything that is contrary to God's will. Wrong petitions are excluded in these words. For with a true attitude of heart and life, we will never ask amiss. So when we ask according to his will, God will not withhold anything good. He delights to give us all that he knows and is asked for when it is asked for his glory. We certainly should realize this. And thus we must never forget the reason for it. Let me read on. Because we keep his commandments. Now you cannot disobey God and think you can ask him for anything, you're going to get it, my beloved fellow believer. There's got to be the obedience of heart and life to his word. For John goes on to say in verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another as he gave his commandment. Be certain to realize what John means here. May I make it clear that he does not refer to the fact that we should believe on the name of Jesus Christ in this verse. All the children of God have already believed on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. But now when saved, in their saved condition, they are to believe, and let me repeat it verbally as it properly is, believe the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. The word name stands for all that our Savior and Lord is. And then in conjunction with all that he is, how the Father desires when we believe in what he is and who he is and all that he is, the Father desires that we should love one another as he gave his commandment. So let us not fail to realize it is again love to one another in the family of God. Love that should be between the children of the Father. We repeat with emphasis, John's epistle is a family letter. And our Lord, when he was upon the earth, gave that commandment, not to the world, not to the unsaved, but to his disciples and his own. A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. The Father is looking for the manifestation of this love between all of his children. It is strictly and solely mutual Christian love that is meant. Now this does not exclude the fact that as a Christian I and you should be seeking to show love and compassion to those who are lost around us, and particularly in an effort to give the word of the gospel to them and tell them the way of salvation. Yes, we should be doing that. But John's command and the command of our Lord and the command of our Father is this. It is a definite command that all Christians should love one another. My, what a responsibility. May it search your heart, my fellow believer, as well as mine own. Now John closes this section in the last verse of the chapter, verse 24, by saying, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth, meaning abideth, in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. May I quote the words of another that I've appreciated in seeking to express the meaning of this verse that we have read. Therefore let God be a home to thee, and be thou a home of God. Abide in God, and let God abide in thee. What does it mean? Oh, my fellow believer, it means this. God wants to live with us, in the enjoyment of abiding with us. And he wants you and I to abide in him. What a responsibility. Therefore let God be a home to thee, and be thou a home of God. Abide in God, and let God abide in thee. Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers, that they would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, in order that Christ may dwell in your heart, that Christ may settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts, as he wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17. And has not, as John writes in this 24th verse of his chapter, has not God given the Holy Spirit to each believer for this reason? Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. My fellow Christian, you ask your heart, let me ask mine. Is God the Father, God the Son, dwelling, abiding, enjoying their dwelling place within our hearts as to their home? And do they really enjoy living within us? The enjoyment depends upon our obedience to his commandments. They are there by the indwelling Spirit, but is your heart and is my heart a happy home for these blessed persons, the Father and the Son? Do we abide in God? Is he abiding in us, in happy fellowship and unbroken communion? Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, wrote John in chapter 1, and said this is the joy that is ours, and we want you that are in the family to have it too. Now to my friends that are still out of Christ, listening to our program, again let me tell you, you can become the child of God. Let me quote Paul's words in Galatians 3:26. For we are all the children of God, through faith, by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If you in repentance for your sins will put your faith in the Son of God who died to save you from the penalty of your sins and their judgment, you will become a child of the Father. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Radio listener, don't you want to be a child of God and that right now? God help you to receive the Savior. Our blessed Father, we lift our hearts in gratitude for the plain, unadulterated teaching of thy precious holy word. May it sanctify the lives of all thy people. May it bring salvation to many a sinner today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.